I'll never get over the truth that God has given us to Jesus. And in verse 6, it mentions that twice. And I lean in and I listen when Jesus repeats himself.
Well, hello, I'm Dr. Peggy Banks, and I'm joined here today with my good friend, Babbie Mason, singer-songwriter and friend.
Yes, absolutely. How are you today, Peggy Banks?
I'm doing very well.
Well, I'm glad to be with you today.
Thank you, Babbie. It is a joy to be with you and to be in a real privilege and honor to be a part of TWR Women of Hope and do this podcast called Hope Has a Name, because our hope is in Jesus. And what I love to do is just invite our listeners to join us as two women around a table talking about topics that women like to talk about. And what we will be doing is bringing in some passages of the Bible, some scripture, as we look at just basic topics and thoughts and my identity, my purpose, my calling, my, what brings me joy. How can we answer those questions in a real way, in a very personal way that involves a life that's dependent on Jesus? Because our hope comes from Christ, and that's why the show is called Hope Has a Name. So for the next couple programs and the series that we're doing today is looking at John 17, because we want to really identify and help our listeners understand how we can find hope in Jesus. Why do we think that hope comes from having a relationship with Christ? So let's look at this passage. It's called the High Priestly Prayer. It's in John 17, verses 6 through 19. You can join along with us if you have a Bible, or if you're driving, or if you're listening while you're folding the laundry or at work or whatever. Just listen along with us. I'm going to read the passages and the verses. Jesus here is praying for the apostles, the guys that he was walking with, that he was speaking with, that he was spending time with hours just before his crucifixion. You know, he had spent 3 years with them teaching and ministering and healing the sick and casting out demons. And the disciples were walking with him and learning from him and seeing these amazing miracles. But now they're spending hours with Jesus, his Last Supper. And Jesus is revealing to them what it means to continue on in this ministry when he is gone.
Yes. And these moments they're very poignant and intimate and even heavy,
yes,
because of what Jesus has to face. Mm-hmm. So you can just get the, you can feel the intensity of the mood. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Picture this in your mind as you see Jesus praying to his Father for himself.
Yeah.
Jesus was praying for himself, mm-hmm, but he was also praying for the disciples, and he was praying for us.
Yes, yes.
And so it's a beautiful picture of prayer, of intimacy, of intensity. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I'm looking forward to talking more. You're going to read this for us?
Yes, yes. So in John 17, verse 6, it says, "I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me and have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me." Now, this is Jesus speaking to his Father. "I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have grounded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the word has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. This is one of my favorite passages. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. A lot of big words there. We're going to break it down a little bit more, make it a little bit more personal.
Yes.
Understanding that Jesus is praying for the disciples, the apostles that are with him, that will stay in the world.
Yes.
But not be of the world. But he's also praying for those who come to know him, you and me and our listeners, who are in the world, but we're not of the world, right? And so he's praying to his Father to protect us and to protect them.
Yes. I love, again, we talked about this in shows past, but this bears repeating. Maybe some that are listening today haven't listened to other shows in the past. I'll never get over the truth that God has given us to Jesus. Mm. And in verse 6, it mentions that twice. And I lean in and I listen when Jesus repeats himself. In the New Testament, he says things like, verily, verily, or truly, truly. He doesn't want you to miss it. When words are repeated, we lean in and we listen. And so in this verse, Jesus prays this part of his prayer, and he mentions this two times in verse 6. He says, and by the way, this is a red letter passage, meaning these are the very words of Jesus. And the book of John is a red letter passage. And so Jesus is praying, and he says this to the Father on our behalf. He says, I showed what you are like to those you gave me from the world. I'll read that again. I showed what you are like to those you gave me from the world. They belong to you, and you gave them to me. Jesus wants us to know that God has given us to him.
Amen.
You are not an outcast. You're not a problem child. You're not a burden. You are here on purpose. You're here in the world with purpose. You're here for a purpose. You may have been a surprise to some, but you are not, nor have you ever been a surprise to God. He has always been expecting you, and he has always been making plans for you. God has given you to Jesus for a reason. You are here in the earth at the precise moment, the precise time to complete for a purpose, for a plan, for an assignment. You're here because God wanted you here.
You know, that's such a good word because so many people don't grow up hearing that, right? They may come from really good families. They may or they may have a broken family. And they start to think that sometimes the brokenness in their family is because of them, right? That my parents divorced because of me. My parents don't love me because of I'm a bad kid, right? I'm a bad child. And so God is giving us a different picture.
Yes.
Jesus is saying here that he knows that they have a job to do. And that job is about telling others about him, right?
Yeah.
He is living out what he taught them.
You know, I think one of the big banners of meaning in this passage is purpose. Jesus came into the earth for a distinct purpose. And we are in the world for a distinct purpose. Our being here is not an accident. But we're here on purpose.
Yeah.
God has a plan. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13 says, the Lord says to you, Peggy, to me, Babby, to you, the one that's listening, he says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Call on me and I'll answer you. Search for me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. So you're not to meander aimlessly through life, but you are to seek the Lord. Peggy and I want to remind you today to seek the Lord for his purpose, his plan in your life, because this is what John chapter 17 is all about. This verse in verse 6 says, I showed you alike to those you gave me from the world. So Jesus is saying, look, I fulfilled the plan that you gave me.
Mm-hmm.
I have right up to the finish. Mm-hmm. I did exactly as you planned me to do.
Yeah.
And that's my prayer today. God, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss your plan and your purpose for me. Mm-hmm. And I want to be diligent and I want to fulfill the plan. He who began a good work. I have to sing the
You sing
the
it too.
I have to sing it.
That's your gift.
He who began a good work in me. He who began a good work in me will be faithful to complete it. He'll be faithful to complete it in me. So we have to be faithful to complete the plan because he did it on purpose.
Amen. And I want to say to our listeners today, embrace who God has called you to be. Embrace your uniqueness, what the gifts that he's given you. I'm thankful that Babbie can sing that song because you don't want me to sing that song. But it's so beautiful when you sing it with out of your gifts and abilities and talents that God has given to you, and you're faithful to continue that work until it is finished, Babbie. God's heart is blessed with that. So today, just embrace who you are, how God has gifted you and called you. It may be crazy. You may think about starting a ministry, or you may think about starting a business or bringing in some people in your home. Step out in faith. Believe that God has something that's unique that only you can do. And it's important for you to hear that prayer that Jesus is praying here for the disciples, that he's praying that for you and for me. And so don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to step out. Don't be afraid to embrace it and be yourself. I mean, how many times, Babbie, have you been somewhere where somebody is telling you to be somebody else? Like, you know, calm down.
Listen.
Bring it down a bit, girl. Just stop
doing
this.
There's a voice in my head. The voice in my head is telling me, you know, what she's doing is better than what you're doing. Do what she's doing.
Oh, right.
But God's plan is uniquely for you.
Yes, yes. I have the wonderful privilege to be able to visit many countries for my work. We have volunteers and leaders all over the world. And so when I go into these different countries and cultures, many times there's been counsel for me to act a certain way, which you have to. You have to respect the culture. You are visiting the country, right? You're visiting the work. You're not running the work, right? So, and to learn that, but still to know how you can embrace who you are uniquely and encourage them no matter where they are. No matter what country or culture, I love the uniqueness of each one of them and letting women know especially that they have a calling from God and they are unique. And Jesus is praying for you every single day and he sees you and he knows what you're going through. I remember one time driving home from seminary and I was just studying and just getting deep into the scriptures and feeling so inadequate in ministry and understanding the Bible. And I remember praying this prayer that I was wishing that Jesus was there with me. I'm like, I just wish you were here physically with me, you know, just here. And I'm sure the guys felt that same way, you know, that they, while they, he was there with them, they had just had this connection. They had him in flesh. But, you know, Jesus is here with us in the Spirit. The Holy
Yes.
Spirit is in us. We are not alone.
That's right. I love the fact, Peggy, that Jesus prays for us. Jesus is praying for us.
He is, and we're going to talk more about that in our next episode as we talk about through John 17. If you'd like to reach us, contact us, chat with us, you can reach me at peggy@twr.org or babbie@twr.org. Join us again for our next Hope Has a Name program. We're glad that you're with us. See you soon.